You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on November 20th, 1987.
I've always been intrigued with just the thought of the first Thanksgiving. You know, what we've done to it in recent years is change the whole a picture of it. Pilgrims and Indians, turkey, venison, mashed potatoes and gravy, succotash, applesauce, chestnut stuffing, lots of pumpkin pie and mince pie. How much of that's really true? You know, well, let's see. The first Thanksgiving is an American tradition, which has become a national holiday. And like many traditions, it's been embellished and has grown to unrecognizable proportions over the years. The menu listed above contains no items which couldn't have been there, but it's hardly accurate in describing what probably was there. One thing we do know is that this celebration was ordained to give thanks to God both for a bountiful harvest and for his providence in providing friendly and supportive Indians. It celebrated success in dealing with nature after a time of being sorely dealt with by the combined savagery of the sea and the land. The first winter in America was spent on the Mayflower, and they there lost nearly half of their number to disease, perhaps the same disease that had earlier decimated the Indians dwelling on Cape Cod. The land was open to them, even though they had landed hundreds of miles north of their original destination in what is now New Jersey. But then, New Jersey, at that time, was well populated with much more hostile Indians than Massachusetts. Still, their impressions, as recorded by William Bradford, first governor and chronicler of Plymouth Colony, are interesting. Here's his description of the land and the people. What could we see but a hideous and desolate wilderness, full of wild beasts and wild men? And what multitudes there might be of them, they knew not. For summer being done, all things stand upon them with a weather-beaten face, and the whole country, full of woods and thickets, represented a wild, savage hue. They looked behind them. There was a muddy ocean which they passed, and was now a main bar and a gulf to separate them from the civil parts of the world. Now, this is the way Bradford described it. He always talked in the third person, so it's hard to remember that he was actually there and saw what he's describing. When they were finally forced, you might say, by the ship's captain to go ashore and explore, he wanted to get back while the time was still good for safe passage. They found the land a little different. Here's some of Bradford's quote again. There was also found two of their houses covered with mats and sundry of their implements in them. But the people were run away and could not be seen. Also there was found more of their corn and of their beans of various colors. The corn and beans they brought away, purposing to give a full satisfaction when they would meet any of them. And here is a noted a special providence of God and a great mercy to this people, that there they got seed to plant them corn the next year, or else they might have starved, for they had none or any likelihood to get any till the season had been passed. So in the long run, for all that hard winter, there was benefit. Another benefit was the appearance of Samoset, an Indian, who spoke English and introduced them later to Squanto, whom Bradford described as another great benefit that God provided. Bradford said, he was a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectation. He directed them how to set their corn, where to take fish, and to procure other commodities, and was also their chief pilot to bring them to unknown places for their profit, and never left them till he died. They had good weather and a good harvest, and by September, Elwood Winslow, one of their party, reported in a letter home, I never in my life remember a more seasonable year than we have here enjoyed, and if we had once but kine, horses and sheep, I make no question but that men might live here as contented as in any part of the world. For fish and fowl we have a great abundance. Fresh cod in the summer is but coarse meat with us. Our bay is full of lobsters all the summer and affords a variety of other fish. The country wants only industrious men to employ. Small wonder Governor Bradford declared December 13, 1621, a day of feasting and prayer, allowing the men 3 days to fish and hunt in preparation. He also invited the Indians, Samoset, Squanto, and Massasoit, who arrived for the feast, it is said, with 90 Pemaquid Indians. What was the real menu? We have to guess. Apparently they were too busy eating to detail what they ate. Still, we do find reference to fish, seafood, waterfowl, corn, beans, and squash. The Indians are said to to have provided deer, turkey, and small game. No mention of potatoes, gravy, succotash, pumpkin, or mince pie. Still, they seem to have dined bountifully. And perhaps as we are getting ready for our Thanksgiving, we ought to be thankful that much of what they ate then is still available to us. Perhaps we ought to be thankful for that. That's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.